Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italian, we're back on You're Ruining Our Kid. The parenting podcast from the Irishman Abroad Podcast Network is back, and I'm dancing. Hey, Mambo.
You're hilarious.
Mambo Italian. You're hilarious is not the words of somebody who's enjoying what I'm doing. I get it. I'm trying to summon energy from somewhere, because if you're like me, Christmas has been more work than your actual work.
Yeah.
I feel like this Christmas is done. It's in the books. We're on to 2026. I don't know, Tina. I feel like
I just need two more weeks
off.
It was so busy, I can't actually pinpoint any day of what we did. Like, it just feels
it was non-stop.
It was non-stop, and it was like we just went through revolving doors for 2 weeks.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And
visiting, flying around the
place.
I feel
like we had a good time, but I just feel really tired. And when we had to get up for school this morning, I was like, oh,
we got
my
no
God.
Lie-ins, though.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. When our kid got his Christmas holidays, I was like, and here we go, 2 weeks of lying on.
No more 6:30 in the morning getting up.
Yeah.
Nope.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. For some reason.
Just kept waking up at that
well,
time.
Well, also, I think it's quite normal for your sleep to be a bit all over the shop through the Christmas. You mean, it's just so stimulating and so weird all the time. I didn't sleep well at all. And I know that people talking about their sleep, probably the most boring thing in the world.
But J-Lo, Jarlett, never.
J-Lo, that's what I'm going by for 2026, guys.
Sorry, that is a pet name.
J-Lo's
here. Jarlett never sleeps, like, ever. So I never know really how he functions.
Have a great tip, though, for people who are struggling to
sleep. I don't think
sleep.
You can, you can't give out drug tips on air.
What are they going to do? Bring me to the High Court?
Well, what if
Jarlett Regan told me.
What if somebody takes one of those and it actually affects their heart or something?
All I'm talking about is drowsy antihistamine tablets.
Yeah, you
pretty
can't,
standard.
I'm not on board
Winona
with this.
I'm going to give the...
No, you can't do this. Stop.
Winona Grant tells everyone.
Yeah, but she doesn't tell them on a podcast. She tells her friends.
You've become way too sensitive.
I am shit scared. No. I have become aware that things I say get quoted.
You think people give a shit.
No, I don't think people give a shit. I just know that I'm not invisible anymore, and it's all your fault, and it's really...
Nobody
no, Jared... I know nobody cares, but people still take things I say and requote them.
I'm a clown, so.
Nobody, I'm not a clown.
Nobody is coming to this podcast going, I wonder what Jarlett Regan
Yeah, but they are think they are trusting me.
Right.
And you're forgetting.
Tina does not endorse this product or service. But if you get yourself some drowsy antihistamine tablets.
Stop it.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with taking an antihistamine once a day.
Loads of people can't take antihistamine.
Okay,
well,
consult your doctor before attempting those. I've been taking these just before bed.
Yeah.
On nights when I know I think I'm going to struggle to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Half an hour before I go to sleep, little antihistamine tablet that says it's drowsy. Out like a light.
I feel so sorry for Jar because I don't have trouble sleeping. Very rarely. Very rarely. No matter what kind
She's
of...
She's not exaggerating
What kind
that.
Of mood, pain level, anything.
What argument has just taken place?
Or what you're telling me at the time. If my head hits the pillow, I am out. And you know what's really upsetting? I wore braces for 2 years. 2 years of constant daily agony thinking, okay, once I get to the end of this, it's all going to be good. Now I have to wear a mouth guard at night time. That
worse.
Is worse than the brace. And
what was the point?
I told the dentist, really gross, this is me oversharing again.
Let it all out.
I told the dentist I suffer from really dry mouth. I'm going to find this hard. Every single night I get to around 2, if I'm lucky 4, and I have to get up and attack my mouth trying to get the brace out because it's so stuck to my teeth. And then I'm in such a panic after thinking this is never going to leave my mouth that when I try and go back to bed I just lie there going, I hate my life, I'm so tired.
If you're struggling with phobias or a kid with irrational fears of things, we want to hear from you because Tina's definitely someone who grew up with irrational fears.
And I still have
a bunch
them.
Of stuff. But this is why this is inspiring. Because every time they suggested a mouth guard, Tina was like, but will it pull out all my teeth?
Charlotte, don't
the dentist
tell
would be like, no, it will not. It will not pull out all your teeth. And says, but when I'm taking it out... Is there a chance that all of my teeth will come out with it? No, that will not happen. But let me just ask.
My dentist hates me.
Ask him 4 or 5 times each appointment. Yeah. And by the end, he would go, why are you asking me this?
I honestly think he took my braces off earlier than I needed them taken off. Just to get rid of me. He was so sick of dealing with me because my teeth still look like I need braces.
That's bollocks. Anyway, we won't start the podcast like that now. You have to be, as you say, people listen to you. This place did the biz. And best of luck to anybody who's heading out on that orthodontic journey this year. Or if your kids, oh my God, we're talking about cranky teenagers later in the show. I'd imagine that when your kid has braces and their mouth has been pulled left, right and centre, that must add to all of this.
I don't know, they seem to take it in their stride.
Our favourite topic though, Tina, this January, every January, we come to the point in the year where the kids have had the keys to the city.
Yeah, everyone's dealing with monsters right now.
We are trying to restore order across this place. You can't kidnap their president and tell them you're gonna sort your shit out and then we're gonna give you your president back.
You can't blindfold your kids and tie them to a chair. you can't do that anymore. They frown on it.
It's not advised.
Yeah.
That's actually a very serious issue. You shouldn't be joking about that, because some kids are that's really bad. I'm going to be that really annoying person. We've never had a listener like that, I'll be honest with you.
No, we had one.
Okay. We did, yeah. But sure, look, anytime I put up a reel where people are like, these Irish mammies are actually really bad, I'm like, I know, that's what this is about.
That's what people are relating
these
to.
These are jokes and we need to laugh about it. This is a podcast about parenting about not getting it right, but doing your best. And with
the help of
Tina and her 20 years of experience in severe behavior units, Montessori school, early learning, you can get advice that you can apply to your life for free.
I miss by that simply job so much. I
emailing
miss doing that.
Irishman Abroad Podcast.
No, it's not. It's Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid.
By simply emailing Honey, You Are Ruining Our Kid @gmail.com. Tina, let's get to it. Usually we come back with loads of stories of we saw this kid doing this, we saw this kid doing that. We didn't actually see that many wild and crazy kids. We saw a lot of cute kids.
And loads of cute kids. And
I think the kid that took the biscuit was on Christmas Day in Mass. The kid that kept on looking back at you.
Oh my God.
He looked like a tiny man.
Yeah.
These lads that are dressed just like their dads. Very, very
cute.
He
was gorgeous and kept my life alive that day because that priest was droning. I was like, oh my God, why are we here? Why do I exist?
Well, you want a bit of crack in your Christmas Day Mass, don't you? I think you want, and did Santa come to all the little kids? And then
the
kids
Santa.
Go,
yeah.
And then he gets a couple of kids up to the altar and goes, well, what did that neighbor do?
Yeah, Father Friendly always did that. And it was so great.
I think this priest is trying his best.
And he definitely was trying his best. But he just didn't involve the kids at all.
Yeah, it has to be part Mass, part toy show.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of banter
but
with the kids.
I was messing with that child so much that my own son gave out to me.
Mom, you gotta stop. Because he was getting amped.
Yeah,
from
we were having a great time. Me and him were best friends.
Peekabooing. And the dad was probably like, stop waving to him. He had him calm. And by the end, Tina had him doing Jack in the Box from his chair.
Yeah, I was afraid he'd bang his head, to be honest. But I was like, I'll keep him.
Well, this story, this question that we have is, I guess it's perfect for this episode. Heart goes out to this family. But again, as Tina points out to me this morning, this is very, very common. My son is about to turn 4 and he is our third child. We're not new to parenting but he is something else. He started school in September and we are struggling. I really need some suggestions or what worked for your kids. All 3 of our kids are not easy, very opinionated kids, hate that, which I appreciate, but this one is different. He was potty trained after school started, but now has regressed and is pooping in his butt. Well, you'd hope that's where he'd be pooping from.
Yeah, but it gets worse.
And then dropping the turds in the toilet.
Himself.
Oh my God.
That's very,
I'm so glad I don't
very,
read the questions
that's
until
very
I read the
behavior.
Questions.
I'm just flagging.
Whenever you see a grown-up doing that, You gotta be like, that guy really wants to see these things go in the toilet. So he poops, takes it out of his jocks, and drops it off at the pool. Literally dropping the kids off at the pool. It sucks, but it's not the worst part. Oh, shit.
I know, these poor
people. I'm never reading the questions before the show, because this is way more fun.
You never do.
It's not the worst part. Sorry for laughing, because this is serious.
Yeah, no, this is serious. Yeah.
He will listen to no one. The school is struggling. He needs its teacher beside him at all times. They had to create a special area in the room. I used to have a special area in the room.
Of course you did.
I can relate to this kid.
You were way older than that.
I was 8. I had my own special area.
It's awful, Charlotte.
This, I can't agree with this as a as an approach by the school, but we'll get to that, right? Yeah. Create a special area in the room for him to reset with the teacher, and is known for getting in the faces of other kids. Mm-hmm. And making them uncomfortable. In the afternoons,
I love the idea of 3-year-olds in his classroom going, "You're making me uncomfortable." And you know that if they have that language, they will be saying it. And it's probably the cutest
thing. I love that ability to articulate that. Plenty of relatives forcing kisses and hugs on kids that you'd love to have been able to say, "Sorry, Uncle Johnny, you're making me uncomfortable. And I don't have to kiss you." In the afternoons, he is the worst and will not listen to anyone, and has been carrying chairs over his head.
This is still in the classroom.
Around the classroom, and is generally very difficult for all. Look, I love the spirit of this kid.
But this is not the worst behavior I've ever heard in a classroom.
Okay, right. Well,
I'm not bothered.
This is going to be great. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Many times they have had to call the principal into the room.
I'm so sorry for laughing, but he's only 3. And I know, look, I had to make a principal call myself at one point. I got a wooden airplane thrown at me so hard, I was concussed.
A
wooden airplane. And I had to call the principal down because I was lying on the ground and I was like, I need someone else to take the class until I'm able to stand up again.
And that kid worked out just fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know.
Many times they have had to call the principal into the room to try and control him and remove him from the other student activities. At home, he is just as bad, if not worse. You see, that's where this is unusual to me, because usually it's one or the other. Yeah. He thinks, this is a crazy place, I do crazy stuff.
No, but this
or
is what
I'm a great kid at school, nightmare at home.
But I actually think this is what makes the behaviour easier to understand and fix.
Okay, right. At home, he's just as bad, if not worse. He listens to no one. If we tell him to do something, if we tell him not to do something, he does it. He is physical with his older siblings, destructive, and generally a pain in the butt. At the same time, he can be incredibly loving and sweet at snuggle time. I love him so much, but my husband and I are at breaking point. We are a very functional, normal family. He gets his extra attention and love as we thought this could be an issue, but it's to no effect. He is very susceptible to positive reinforcement, but he doesn't stop the bad behavior. I've Googled but found nothing. I'm at the point of making a doctor's appointment, but not sure what will they even suggest. We know he is young and his behavior is 100 times worse than anything we've ever seen or dealt with the other kids. What should we do next? Therapy? Doctors? Anything? We're open to everything. We just need help, but not sure where to find it. So Tina, any advice is appreciated. We are not bad parents. We try our best, but we are losing it. And listen, that's the thing to emphasize here. Mm-hmm. We're all trying our best here.
And when your kid is like that, it's exhausting.
And you start to blame yourself.
Yeah, and it doesn't help because you're feeling completely worn out by the behavior, which means you're not reacting brilliantly to the behavior in the moments either. First thing I would suggest to this mom is, she's mentioned professional help there, and I absolutely do not know this kid. I've never met the kid. So I would absolutely say, if her gush has made her think, do I need to bring him to therapy? Does he need to go to the doctor? I would start making those appointments now, because if there is an additional need there, the earlier you request the help, the more, you know, the more of a chance of you getting it, especially now when there's so many children with additional needs. You
really
have
especially in this country.
I think these people are actually in the UK.
Okay.
So when they say they're at school, he's in nursery right. class. And, so his behaviour is out of control. And sometimes we forget when we're the teacher and we're the parents and we're dealing with the out of control behavior and we're exhausted by it. He is equally exhausted by that out of control behavior. That is not a happy child. Like, he is not happy or comfortable in himself. Like, his body is a mess. He is not calm. He is not functioning like he should be because he is lacking in something. And that's really hard to say to a parent without hurting their feelings, because it's not that he's lacking in love. What I'd imagine is he is lacking in understanding boundaries and rules and what is expected of him. And that might have just come, like they mentioned in the email, they've got very opinionated children, which is fabulous, but maybe they're allowing, you know, a lot of kind of unhealthy independence for children this small, in terms of, like, it's great that they have their opinions and stuff, but are they following your rules? Do you have a kind of rules in the house are rigid, that don't move, that
this
aren't
kind
flexible
of constitution that you've talked about in the past,
like,
the sit down
do they
the
know what they're allowed to do they know what is pushing, you know, against, like, or are the boundaries a bit loose and the children are just allowed to explore and be free? Like, it's a really nice idea, the idea of kind of letting them be their own. Like, I can't say for certain this is what's happening in this house, but sometimes you see children who are allowed kind of have their own kind of idea of what the rules are. They are the kids who suffer because they actually want to feel safe. And a child can't feel safe if they don't know what's expected of them. So I think the first thing they need to do in this house is the mom and dad need to sit down, and together they need to come up with what is acceptable behavior, what are the boundaries of their own house, what is bedtime, what are meal times like, and they need consistency in all these things so that this child especially, who is already acting out to this level, starts to feel safe and calm in a routine.
Can I jump in there? Right? Because the one line that stood out to me in the email was about the older siblings.
Yeah.
As the youngest sibling in my house, 10 siblings, only 4 siblings in total, you can tend to be like, well, we did our parenting with the others. Now, I'm not saying that they did this.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that over time, it's obviously going to be a bit more like, well, your brothers and sisters are going to take care of you.
Yeah, but I don't get that from this email, because they seem really concerned. And
yeah,
they even said that they're trying to carve out independent time with him, where they give him attention. Mm. I really feel like these guys are trying their best and they are very aware of the problem. And she's also, credit to her, has been told these awful things from the school. Most parents can't handle that. Like, the schools had to come to you and tell you those behaviors. First of all, they're even worse than they're telling you, and that's as much as they can tell you, because it's very, but teachers and principals do not like having to tell parents this stuff. They prefer to try and iron it out in school, and it's only if it's actually really affecting the other children and stuff that they will come to you. And she is really, seems like she's really taking it on the chin. Mm. And she's understanding of it, because she's like, yeah, I'm seeing it at home. Whereas a lot of the time the parent will be like, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you know, in complete
denial.
Maybe you
need to run your classroom better.
Yeah, yeah, complete denial. And that's really tough. So she does seem like she's open to help. That can often be the hardest thing when the parent isn't quite there.
Well, let me just ask, because there'll obviously be people listening to this going, this does sound a lot like my guy too.
Mm.
And, you know, she said, where do I go next?
Yeah.
You're saying that the first place is to sit down as a family and
no,
get
not
clear
as
on
a family, just with our partner. Do not involve the kids right now. Because even if the other kids aren't acting out like this young kid is, they all need the same structure. So, and I'm not saying make the house really, like, fixed, and I'm just saying you need to know what if there's a behavior, what is the consequence? What do you both agree on? You need to get really clear in what your parenting standards are. like, whatever you're doing is not working for your youngest kid. He doesn't feel safe. And that is the essence of this acting out. He doesn't really know what's expected of him. So he'll do absolutely anything to get attention. And it is all attention based. Now, it's going to be very hard for this family, because when they push back against this, he's going to get worse. If they're able to be consistent, if they have their parenting standards set up, that can be anything. Like, that can just be, you know, they can still be very gentle parents. I'm not saying bring punishment into the house. I'm just saying, if bedtime's 8 o'clock, bedtime's 8 o'clock every day. That's it. That is your rule. Don't let the kids have wriggle room, because that's when kids get a little bit like, well, I can kind of do whatever I want.
Yeah, and if I kick up enough of a stink, yeah, eventually they'll relent.
Like, have a bedtime routine and always have that bedtime routine. Try your best. It's not possible to do the same thing every day all the time, but it is possible to try and stick to a habit. And at dinner time, have the dinner time the same way you try and have it all the time. I mean, these things are really important for children's behaviors. They need to feel like they know the routine. So whatever the routine that is manageable for your family, sit down with your partner and figure it out. Figure out what are the consequences. Now, you know, I'm not into naughty steps or timeouts. I don't like them. I don't think they work. But I do think that if you have a child acting out, hitting their siblings or anything like that, you are allowed to say, to get down to their level and say, this behavior is not okay. I'm giving you a warning. Explain to them what you want them to do and say, if you keep doing this, I will have to give you a consequence. Explain the consequence. Then you get to say, if you see it going again, you say, I've given you your warning. I will have to follow through on the consequence if you do that behavior. And the consequence can be something like, you know, washing the table or brushing the floor. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like horrible. Just something
TV for you.
Yeah, don't punish the whole family. But like, make it something that, like, I always think a distractive behavior is way better than a, you know, something mean. Like, when they're washing the table, they're doing an activity, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but they've helped out in some way.
You know, it's a really great question to start off this year of the podcast, because what you're saying, Tina, is could be applied to everybody's household, whatever age your kids are. Post-Christmas, you're trying to reestablish that world order, that routine and that sense of, well, this is how it works. What's extraordinary, and we've seen Tina apply this, is how relaxing it is for your kids, they settle and feel like safe and comfortable in knowing, well, that's it. That's how it works.
Well, you need your child to always feel like they're safe with you. Safe with you no matter how they behave. That you are always going to be there for the hug and the embrace. Now, I know this child's behavior is off the charts, and I've only given a tiny bit of advice, but there's no way to tackle every behavior at the same time. The first thing this kid needs is a routine. Now, I would absolutely tell them to start doing a sensory diet with this child, and the school should be on that too. This kid needs sensory activities. They need to feel, they're like, I think every single child should have a sensory diet. It doesn't matter if they have, it's the kids who have the extra thing that seem to get given these sensory diets, but it's no harm for every kid. Like, these brushing, these bouncing on the balls, the rolling, like, they help every child feel a bit calmer. Like, this child obviously needs that. Now, I know the school have their reset area, and that is just out of safety for the other children. But this school sounds like a very understanding school. Like, the stuff he's doing is very tough. They might just need, the mom should request maybe regular meetings where they can discuss their techniques. But I definitely think she should inquire as to whether they're doing sensory diets with her children, with her child. And if they are, she should be doing the same ones at home before he goes to school.
Well, thank you so much for your email. And we can't wait to hear how things develop. Because, of course, when you email Tina, you won't just get, you know, advice and, has an understanding ear. Like she says, she's seen this loads of times. She's seen way worse. So do keep the emails coming in to honeyyouareruiningourkid@gmail.com. There's such an amount of relief around when the kids go back to school at this time of year, isn't there?
Yeah, I feel terrible, but this morning when I woke up, there was a tiny bit of butterflies that, hey, I get to do my job today and not worry yeah. about all feeling awful about myself doing my job.
Backlog of stuff yeah. that has been, I'll do that when they go back to school.
Yeah, well, you just want to be present and it's so hard. And then you hear yourself saying, I just need to get this bit of work done. And you're like, It's just awful.
Here's such mixed emotions seeing them off. But then, you know, this is why you do need a group. You do need a village to help you, because nobody else can relate to this. Your friends that don't have kids
yeah.
don't get that. They like, I guess, it's such a strange day. Is this this isn't Blue Monday, is it? It'd have to be pretty blue.
Isn't the 8th of January?
Is that it? Lord.
I don't know. I totally just made that up.
Well, one of the challenges is that, you know, the Christmas puts the whole relationship under a microscope. You start to see the cracks. The things that you've been ignoring are the things you thought that weren't that big.
Mm.
Or like, oh, turns out maybe that is big or that is something.
You do get to observe your children again for a little while. Yeah.
And that's what this second question is all about. Hi, Tina and Jar. Absolutely love the show and I've missed it so much. Thank you for coming back. I'm pretty sure my teenage daughter isn't being completely honest with me. Well, that would put her in the category of every teenager yeah. ever, right?
Yeah, big time.
Pushing the boundaries, stress testing how much bullshit you can spin.
Oh
I'm not
God.
Saying they're all liars, I'm sure. But, like, I do think that when I read that first line of this, I was like, well, this is what they're at.
It's hard to know. It's not our area of expertise, but we've read a lot of teenage books now.
Yeah.
And there's always a chapter on, why is my teenager lying to me?
And yeah, it's like, and it is a boundary
test. It's like
test.
It's taken for granted that your teenager will lie.
Yeah. Certain behaviors, she says here, are really worrying me, though. She comes home from school in the most insanely ferocious mood. She is extremely tall and extremely skinny. She's always tired and seems to be constantly cranky. Again, this all seems par for the course. If you told your parents about this, they'd be like, that's how they are.
Yeah, but isn't that the most annoying thing to hear?
That's the most annoying thing. Because she's clearly saying there's more here.
Yeah, she's stressing her mummy gut.
I don't think she's eating or sleeping enough. And that really worries me. It's just a mammy gut feeling. It's just a mammy gut feeling. But what can I do? I've already made the mistake of actually telling her I don't think she's doing these things right. But I have zero proof. Mm. She does lie to me during the day on basic stuff. I've read it's normal for teenagers to bend the truth. But it drives me nuts when she lies to my face and I'm able to prove her wrong. And she just shrugs her shoulders. Is there anything I can do to help her and myself?
No.
Simple answer. On to the question number two. Of course there is. Of course there is.
I'm joking. I'm a joker too. Yeah. Well, first of all, I think I know this sounds really annoying and silly and simple, but getting a multivitamin or a tonic as part of her daily routine at least takes the stress away from going, is she getting all the nutrients she needs? Because she does need them. It's a very important time for a teenage girl. And that is one thing you can control. She has to take it in the morning with her breakfast. You're being a good mom. She's taking care of herself.
And you're talking like a Centrum or something like that?
I think there is actually multivitamins designed specifically for teenage girls and for teenage boys.
Oh,
and
really?
Then there's that brilliant tonic that I love.
Oh, I know this
I
stuff.
Can never... It's like...
Fluoridex?
Fluoridex. Yeah, that's a really good one. I mean, it's gross, but it's really good.
Yeah, it tastes like old school medicine and it comes in an old school medicine brown bottle. With
and
the
sometimes
load of vegetables on the front.
You look at it and you're like, is it just really fragmented orange
but
juice?
Even when I take that, I feel better.
No,
I don't know if it is.
It's super juice, definitely.
Yeah.
It's very expensive, though.
It's very expensive.
Yeah,
but it
I really think
the
multivitamins should be given to the teenagers. Like, they need them and they're really expensive. Like, that's a luxury for a lot of families. Anyway.
Did you lie to your parents?
Well, we've been through this before. I was a super goody two-shoes and got no thanks for it. But I think that I was so afraid of doing anything wrong or being bold or getting caught in a lie that I didn't. I don't think I did, really. I definitely did a few things, like when it was lights out, I would wait and then put back on my light and read my book.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
It's hardly stealing from the collection plate.
Yeah.
Jessica Lovejoy style.
No.
You did seem like honestly, I had such difficulty corrupting Tina. I'm still at it.
Also, I was such a sick teenager that I was kind of, you know, when you're a teenager.
Doing a deal with God.
Oh, like when you're a teenager, you're crazy. And if you get sick and you just want to get better.
Maybe if I'm really good.
Yeah, maybe if I'm really.
The Lord above.
It wasn't even about God. It was more about like, if I do this, then maybe the universe will reward me and I won't feel like shit tomorrow. Like all that kind of stuff.
That's what you were at.
I still do
I'm
that
sometimes.
I'm going to
be the best patient ever.
Yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, these kids aren't raised with that all-seeing eye.
No.
Oh God, what if I get smited for this? And in some ways, it does make you long for that a little bit, because I definitely was scared of my accumulated bad stuff.
Oh my God.
And I can remember going to confession and being like, whoa, thank God I'm a Catholic. I'm in the clear again. So strange, but I was definitely lying a bit. And, you know, it is a bad habit, and it is like some of it I don't think she needs to worry about.
Yeah, that's
what
I was going to say.
Is she gets that.
Yeah,
but when it comes
to so frustrating
sleeping
and
hydration
yes.
and nutrition,
that's
and
really
she,
tricky.
You're getting the brunt of that. She comes back from school. Like, I wonder if we'll put it out there to the listeners, if you've got teenage kids.
Yeah.
Is it really common for them to come home from school in a fowler?
I don't know. Like, they're burning energy so fast.
I think it is. I think it's pretty standard. Because, think about it.
I just don't remember.
Last time they ate.
Yeah. Well, they're
half
not.
12. Probably half 4.
I still think it's crazy that they haven't incorporated a later break in the day in these schools.
Mm.
Like, I know they have. Most of the schools finish earlier than we ever did. But, like, we were starving at school all the time. Like, surely now, with everything we know about nutrition and teenagers,
there should
be
a second break.
And, like, or just snacks available when they're hungry, like.
Well, I guess there is vending machines in that. And that can also be another part of this. I wonder, does this kid consume high sugar?
Yeah, well, we all did that.
Because the bottom out from eating Moams or whatever chewy sweets you love, or drinking your fizzy colas or pops, whatever the youngsters are drinking, the Monster drink is an awful drink and rots the teeth. At some point in every episode, Tina, I am going to become an Irish
No, mommy. You're just, not. That's not happening.
Just for a 30-second period, whenever I find myself trying to relate to the children, my voice automatically goes that way. But the real bottom out of sugar high, sugar low, could be part of this.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, but you know, what I was hinting at there earlier was like, you told loads of lies and you took loads of risks and you had a pretty nice teenage years. I was tried my best to be really, really good and not tell any lies. I was still accused of lying the whole time and it didn't matter. So I just think if she's not doing anything awful and the lies aren't dangerous, is it just normal teenage behaviour?
Mm.
Like mine was abnormal. Like it was.
It's so tricky.
I was so stressed out trying to be good.
I was going to say that if you keep saying to her, look, I trust you completely.
Oh,
that you can essentially guilt her into telling you. I know you would never lie to me and then hold her stare. I know you would never lie to me.
It is so hard because what you need to do, and this is the problem with giving you advice on by teenage girls, is you need to keep the door open. If you go in too hard, she will hate you.
Mm.
If you go in too little, she will resent you.
Mm.
You need to kind of just get better at listening and choosing your moments to parent. And I know even saying that is impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it mightn't be impossible to get it right all the time, but you will get it right some
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah, the odd time. But I would definitely maybe bring her to the doctor and just get a health check done. I mean, you're supposed to do that anyway. And the doctor can tell her, go to the doctor first, have a meeting with the doctor, if it's a good doctor, and tell them your worries and tell them that is private. You're not to tell my daughter. I have told you that. I'm going to bring her in. And if she's underweight or if there's something you're worried about, take it seriously. Then bring your daughter to the doctor. Don't say anything. Allow the doctor to do his or her job. Allow your daughter to talk to the doctor in that meeting. You just be there and talk if you need to. And she might take that stuff on board.
Well, this body consciousness and this leaning towards being super healthy obviously was not a huge concern in the 90s when
for
we were
boys,
teenagers.
But now it is for girls and boys. Like, girls were always super conscious of their bodies.
Yeah.
It was
but there,
prevalent.
There wasn't fillers and the sense that your lines were a concern. You weren't using electric face masks to try and beat the aging process before it begins. It does seem like all of this is ramped up to an extent.
We had a listener get in touch just before the Christmas saying that their daughter was looking for makeup for Christmas and she didn't know what to do because some of the stuff she was asking Santa for was stuff she didn't even know about. Like, she didn't know what they were. And to be honest, I had to Google it too. And I was like, oh my God, this is proper grown-up makeup. And I'm wondering how to handle that. And then the more reading I did about it, you're right, Charlotte. Like, children as young as 6 years of age this year were asking for makeup from Santa. And then I had to question myself and my beliefs about it. And I was like, well, like, makeup shouldn't be something we're ashamed of. Mm. Like, it is something that most women will use every day. And enjoying your face and how you look isn't something to be ashamed of. Some people become artists doing that. But what we do need to be careful of is, like you say, the lines and trying to be young. Like, that stuff is bananas. Like, I really felt a very heavy responsibility trying to guide this lady through it. And in the end, I was like, let's just veer to the edge of fun. Let's get her hair chokes for her hair, glitter for her eyes, some really fun lip balms.
And some would say, are you opening the door there? Are you actually just leading her down the garden path towards it? But then I think that if you were to stamp it out and say, absolutely not, you fetishize it and make it a taboo.
But
that she's
but
like,
this
well,
is
I'll
what I had to call on
like
myself. I was like, what is the big deal with a child wearing a bit of cream or makeup? They're going to end up doing that anyway. It's nothing to be ashamed of. But it's when it's the fixing their face is different. Like, they're just enhancing their face. They're just having a bit of creative fun. But it's if they start talking about fixing their face. That's a worry, because obviously we're all individual, we're all beautiful in our own way.
To come back around to the question.
Yeah, sorry.
It is around trust and your kid. And sometimes you have to watch it as a parent, because you might be projecting your dishonesty as a teenager upon them. And that the pushback and the blowback that you're getting is from you assuming the worst of them and then being like, I fucking told you I had my lunch. I fucking told you I ate. I told you I was drinking water. Why is that not good enough for you?
Because you know what? Because it's her mommy gut that's tingling. And the mommy gut is a super powerful thing that I'm always telling women not to ignore. And just this morning, I need to get the name here.
Mm-hmm.
Just this morning, I was reading about how
This is a female intuition, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, but also when you're a mom and you have your baby, you know your baby better than anyone. You just do. And, it's Jessie Nelson from Little Mix, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she had twin baby girls, okay? Beautiful twin baby girls. And she said, she shared this incredibly heartbreaking video on TikTok. She said her girls are premature and she was given the advice that, you know, they're not going to get them to their milestones like other babies were. So don't worry too much if they're not crawling when they should be crawling and things like that. And she said she didn't have any other kids. So she really took that advice to heart. And she said her mother tried to tell her, I don't think their legs should be like that at this point. So she listened, you know. It's hard when you're getting that extra advice from a parent. But she said, her mother said so many times, she was like, okay, I'll bring her to the doctor, I'll bring her to health nurse. And everyone kept saying, no, it's fine, they were premature, it's grand. But But they weren't fine. And she knew they weren't fine. And they have severe muscular disease. And even though they're tiny, tiny babies, they might never walk. They might never be able to move their head, their arms. And they've had, there's a very, she was saying, there's a gene therapy that they can give. When they do the heel prick, normally this shows up straight away, but they don't have the heel prick in the UK. So there was no indicator that there was anything wrong with her babies. But in Ireland, when you have your child, they did a heel prick. Straight away, those babies are given what is deficient in their muscles, so no damage occurs. Wow. But instead, her baby's muscles that have died off can never be fixed. And she was just so upset because she was saying, you know, I knew there was something wrong with my baby. Yeah. But everyone told me there wasn't. Now, we both know that I had the experience of knowing there is something wrong with my baby. And I couldn't get anyone to listen to me at all. And sometimes I feel like if a mom, like this mom, thinks there's something a bit off, bring that kid to the doctor and get someone else to talk to her, because mommy gut's a powerful thing.
Get the school involved.
I don't think you get the school involved with a teenager.
I just mean if you're concerned about something and how your kid is getting on in school,
you can go to your year head
and say, can you keep an eye on this?
But I don't think you should tell the year head you're worried that she's not eating and stuff, because
it's too much.
It's too much information for them.
Yeah, and you never really know how they're going to receive that.
No, you don't know what they're going to do. Yeah, so we wish you luck. And also, if there's anyone listening who has any experience with this, we would really love to be able to give this mom some more feedback or more direction on where to go.
Well, I always recommend the book, How to Talk to Teenagers So They'll Listen, and How to Listen to Teenagers So They Will Talk. That's the two things we want the most, right? So best of luck with that, and we'll obviously come back to this if we get any more news on it. What's your New Year's resolution, Tina? Our next question is all about trying to get on top of a few behaviours that you want your kids. You want to impose New Year's resolutions on your kids. What's yours? I have taken a shot at this, Tina. We have not prepared this.
No.
I'm just throwing this in the mix.
And I'm so anti being told what to do that.
No, you need to have a New Year's resolution.
Well, I really want to feel more on top of things this year. I want to be more organized.
A nice general diffuse.
Excuse me.
Zero pressure. I just want to feel like.
Excuse me. Feeling organized is actually a lot of pressure on me.
Okay. But just make sure it's not specific.
That is very specific to what I need to do.
It's far too broad for ever feel like you achieved it.
No, it's not. I procrastinate to the point of I'd rather just do something else and put that piece of paper into the place,
and
the filing cabinet.
And you don't like being told.
I don't like being told what to do.
It's so funny that you're advising people on how to get their willful children to do what you're asking them. And you're like, I don't like putting that piece of paper if you tell me to.
Maybe that's because I can understand the point of view of the kid, you know, because they don't like being told what to do. And I can help you.
But you know, I did a TV show at the start of December called The Blame Game on BBC Northern Ireland.
The Blame Game.
And it reminded me as to why I am way better doing stand-up comedy off my own bat, my way, the way I like to do it. I haven't had a job in so long.
Yeah.
Like, I've spent most of my life suiting myself and doing my own thing, that honestly, like, I've been on panel shows many times.
Yeah, but you say, people are always like, why isn't Jared doing the show? And I'm like, he says no to everything.
I say no
everything.
To all these panel shows because I'm like, I just find it's so stressful.
And you did this show because you love the guy who does it. Yeah. And he asked you and you were like, yeah, I'll do it. But you were, I've never seen you so stressed out.
Fucking hell, lads. Write jokes about this. Like, no.
But you know what? I remember, like, talking to you about people I was working with and stuff, and you give me advice, and I was like, that's not going to work. These people are my family during the day. I have to get on with them. I was like, how did you cope in an office?
Just go quiet. Just go quiet. They'll get the picture.
I was like, when you're at work, you're with your work family. I was like, I can't do what you're telling me to do, you crazy man.
Well, My New Year's resolution.
Oh,
thanks
sorry,
for asking.
Sorry. Okay, I changed my mind. It's to remember to ask you what you'd like to.
I think my New Year's resolution is to get healthy.
Ah, shut up. You've been getting healthy for years. I'm so bored of you getting healthy.
Yeah.
I gotta get my run in. Oh, yeah. I gotta eat this. Choose something else.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, I have a lot of very unhealthy habits, including a huge addiction to low-calorie fizzy drinks.
Well, I think...
Zero-calorie.
Yeah.
It's true. It's just pure chemical. Yeah, one of them that I drink... has no calories and no caffeine in it. So what is it? Like, I don't know what I'm drinking.
But you never drink water.
Sometimes I definitely replace water with fizzy drinks from a can. And that's so bad. Like, that's so bad. It might explain my sleep. It's all connected. Okay. Right, question number three. Teenager, help me. It's a new year and I'm trying to encourage my kids aged 3 to 5 to think what this means in terms of new habits
Clever
that must
mom.
Be started.
I love it. Good
How
woman.
Can I get them to eat vegetables? Wipe their own bums.
Oh, well, that's common. Common
that
problem.
Is ridiculous. Have less screen time. If I managed to get on top of these three things, I think I'd feel like I was already winning in 2026.
I just realized I never talked about the poor mom and the putting his turds into the water, but
oh shit!
But I guess she does need to just face down the other one first and come back to me, and I will help you with that.
Yeah.
And at least he's letting the poo out. A lot of kids just will not let go of the poo. So you're nearly there. Okay, you're nearly there.
But like, I wondered about that. Had she caught him doing it? Is he placing them in the loo, or is he sending them from distance?
Oh, I don't know, but I'd imagine
is
what
she
the
only
problem
copped on
is.
To this happening because she smelled
like
his hand.
He doesn't like the sensation of the water hitting his bottom.
No
when
one
it
does.
Plops. Yeah. But yeah, definitely she has to encourage him to do that and flush it and wash his hands.
It makes this mom feel great.
Yeah,
though, like,
yeah,
it's
I bet.
Vegetables,
sorry.
Screen time and bum time.
I interrupted the end of that question, though, sorry.
Yeah, no, that was it. So happy to have the show back. I've missed you guys so much.
Okay.
Eat vegetables. I mean,
that's easy.
That's
just Tina's tapas. Like, I'm not joking. And I know I didn't make up Tina's tapas, even though Jarla calls it Tina's tapas.
Well, putting food in little bowls on the table for them to make their selections.
But there's not one parent this has not worked for. Like, that is it. It 100% works. And it has worked for everyone I know. Take the pressure off the food. Just put everything out in bowls. Put empty plates in front of them and allow them. Make sure there's something there that they will definitely eat and allow them to explore.
Pick and mix.
It works every time and it is brilliant. And you just have to fight the urge to be like, put some carrots on your plate. Just, you know. And also, I've really learned in the last while with kids, you're better off keeping the vegetables raw. Where you can. Like, I mean, I know you can't
get more
them.
Nutrition in them as well.
Yeah, but honestly, they prefer the crunch to the wet. Yeah. So I know you can't do that with parsnips and stuff, but maybe with them, mash them. Because I think it's the in-between. What I've noticed is they don't like.
So ungrateful.
I know.
Wipe their own bums.
That is a tough one. Because you know what? They don't believe in themselves enough. They're not quite, they're little hands and they're little arms. It's a lot of...
I thought you were going to say they're little arses.
No, that's a lot of motor planning. Like, we take it for granted. And I mean, there's a lot of grown-ups who aren't doing a great job of it either. But like, that's a lot of motor planning. First, you have to teach them, you know, how long you need to wipe for it. The kind of gentleness they need to have. The nice toilet paper. How they have to keep wiping until there's nothing left on the toilet roll. Then flush and wash their hands. That's just repeating it and maybe helping them choose the toilet paper they want to use.
I was going to suggest that you do that thing that you did in England that time where you told the kids about how dangerous it was not to brush their teeth properly.
Oh my God, that's not what I did.
One of the kids. wouldn't stop scrubbing his teeth.
That's not what I did. I did a really thorough lesson.
Really thorough.
On how you should brush your teeth. I had the whole teeth kit and everything. And I told them how important it was and how they can help their own teeth and keep the dirt away. One of the kids took it in way too much. Like, yes.
Went in really deep.
Deep. Like, they could not stop brushing their teeth. And I helped that kid through that, but that is not what happened.
I helped that kid through that problem that I created for that
but
child.
I feel so sorry for that kid because, like, he obviously really enjoyed that circle. You know, when you're in a Montessori circle like that and you really get into the groove of listening and watching the presentation and stuff, he really listened. And I was able to say that to
him.
I was like, you really took it on board and you're doing a great job. But actually, we're only supposed to brush our teeth in the morning, sometimes at lunch and at night time. His poor mom was really worried.
Less screen time, I think, is pie in the sky. How the hell are you going to do that?
Oh, look, less screen time is the most important thing on that list. I am sorry. I know that
How?
I am going to get, like, hated for this. But I am at the point in my life where I am so holding myself back from going up to prams and taking the phones out of kids' hands. I am so sick of it. You are ruining your kid.
Prams, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on. Why is your one-year-old on an iPhone? Turn that pram around and talk to your kid. That is a brilliant opportunity for language. I know I sound like a middle-aged woman
now.
Well,
you're very clear on it. Like, you know, I don't think it sounds like anything. You've always just been really clear that if you want a vocal kid and you want the relationship with them, you got to stop.
But, like, the evidence is there now. It is bad for them. You are diminishing their ability to concentrate.
Yeah.
I get it. It's impossible to not have screens at all. But have a screen time during the day. Stop just putting them on screens because it's easier for you.
You'll say it's impossible, but we never had them back in mind.
Look, I watched that guy, that TikTok guy. What is his name? Eric. He's from Donegal. Eric Roberts. Sometimes I find him very annoying, but I'm sure he's a lovely person. But in his fairness, he is a dad of a little one-year-old, and it shouldn't be that much of a shocker, but he is trying to be a no-screen parent. And he put up a reel the other day of how much entertaining you need to do with your child, like bringing the toys and the books. But that is all brilliant learning for them. Like playing, interacting with those toys, having the engagement from you. I mean, a lot of people are wondering why their kids' behavior is so out of control, but you haven't been engaging with your kids since they were able to sit up. You can't just expect them to listen to you when they've been parented by a screen.
Also, you're removing the chance that when you eventually do find yourself in a situation where, right, we actually need them to lock in, like on a plane transatlantic.
Yeah, movie time.
One movie prepped for that is going to be really helpful.
Because if most of the people listening to this haven't turned off in a rage right now about how anti-screens I am, I'm actually not an anti-screen parent. I am not. I am anti-screen pushchairs. I'm anti-screens in high chairs.
Or in restaurants. Restaurants, seems to be the place we see it the most.
No.
Where everyone, both parents and all the kids are all on a screen.
That is just so sad for humanity. I just think it is. But I am not anti-screens. I get it. At certain points in the day, you need your child to... They learn on the screens.
Yeah.
Gaming is important for your kid. The parents who are excluding their kids from gaming
might be excluding them from conversations
and friendships and everything. Yeah. But I could make the news.
But the question is, how do I get less then? How do we get less?
Well, I think you just do what we do. You timetable it. And that's the rule.
That's your window.
That's it. It makes it so easy as a parent. You just say, what day is it? Thursday. No, you know the rule. Saturday. 2 hours, that's it. We're not that strict. I mean, our kid's a teenager, but when he was small, we were that strict.
Well, yeah, I mean, if there's an allocated time for it, like you said in the previous question, it's a bit calmer because they know, well, that's when it is.
Like
they might grow to have a lingering resentment towards you.
I definitely don't think I'm doing it right. We're all flying blind with the screens, but does a one-year-old need to be on a screen in a pram? No.
We're in the Wild West, though. I always say this, that, you know, the way we looked back on how our parents let us do X, Y, and Z, and we go, oh God, it was mad the way they did that.
Yeah.
They will look back on this period and be like, maybe you were just allowed to go on your screen as much as you wanted.
Well, I think it will actually be way worse than that. I think grown-ups are going to be in therapy talking about how isolated they felt from their parents because they were put on screens. Mm-hmm. Look at how we feel so emotionally neglected. We were never just left on a screen. I really worry about it. It really is something on my mind. And this Christmas, when I was going around and seeing tiny babies on screens, it's like, come on, like, your baby shouldn't know how to unlock the iPhone and look for Bluey. Like, cartoons are great. I'm not anti-cartoons. I'm just saying, can you, a little bit of cop on here.
Designate the time and bringing that in. That might be the most challenging part if you've gone through the looking glass in terms
of it. This one's already so clever. Yeah. This whole new year, new habits.
Yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Well, I hope we've got in there nice and early, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
I hope I haven't annoyed everyone with my screen talk, but
well, Tini, it's a worry for me. You're better off to just state where you stand on these things rather than trying to please everybody. That's your opinion. That's what you think. And guys, you're free to take it or leave it.
Yeah, I'm not, like, it's a zero judgment podcast, so I'm not going to judge you. But I am in menopause. I have a menopausal rage. And there is a chance that I could, any day now, take an iPhone off a child and give out to a parent.
and you've also seen the impact of screens for kids coming into school, having been on screens a lot,
having the fine motor movement isn't there. They can't even pick up a crayon. It's like, that's not right. You're not doing your job as a parent. Come on, play with your child.
Yeah, I mean, it is a battle, but we're all in it together.
You seem worried for me.
Hopefully, Honey, Your Rooney, Your Kid can be a help to you over the course of this year. Make sure to subscribe. Give us a bit of a review on whatever platform you're
Maybe
on.
Maybe not today if I've annoyed you. It's great,
I don't think you'll have annoyed many. I think there'll be just as many who, and you might need to put a review saying that we actually agree on the screens thing. It is a work in progress at all times.
It really is. And I'm trying not to judge, but
it never ends.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much, Tina. Thanks so much for making the time to record this. And we will see you all in 2 weeks' time.
Okay, love you, girl.